Yo, what
Blog
up, everybody?
Talk Radio.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee Keys and Evan Real Talk. Today, Fight Day Edition, me and Evan will talk last week's triple title tilt. We'll talk a little bit about Rose Namajunas versus Wally Zhang. And then we will go into tonight's fight night, where we have Leon Edwards taking on Bilal Muhammad. Got a lot to talk about today. What's going on, Evan? How you doing, bro?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, no, thank you. I apologize. I don't know what happened with tried calling in to set it up, but something happened there. But regardless, I'm doing great. Very happy that we got to do this one on a nice Saturday morning. You know, it gets me even more excited knowing that the fights are literally hours away. So, you know, let's just get into it, right?
Man, this is a big card. This card has a lot of fights on it. I'm kind of shocked by the number of fights that's on this card. But it's like this is what I think fight night cards should be. I've been saying it for a while. That fight night cards, you should probably have two top guys as the main event, and then you fill the card, the rest of the card out with up-and-coming fighters. Fighters that we don't know a lot about, but fighters that we probably see go up the ladder one day. So, you know, I'm excited about this card. And, yeah, it's jam-packed. 12 fights on this card, bro.
Mm. Yeah, it honestly can't get any better. Like you said, I'm in 100% agreement. When it comes to fight nights, I have no problem with them stacking it with up and coming talent. There's just plenty of good, you know, solid talent on the card that's not being seen because it's overshadowed by those bigger names that everyone believes you need to see. And it's just not true. So I can't wait for this one. The main card looks great. The prelims honestly look pretty solid too. There's actually a lot of good fights on this, you know, prelims. So, like you said, we will get to those in a bit. But if you don't mind, you know, to start this show off, I believe we talked about wanting to kind of break down the last weekend's three title fights. Does that sound good to you?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, so start it off real quickly. Before we get into the title fights, I did want to mention just the two fights on that pay-per-view that were the openers. We had Thiago Santos and Alexander Rakic. Number one, that fight stunk. Don't know what happened to either of them. I believe Thiago Santos is dealing with that, just the injury to his legs, and he just doesn't seem the same anymore. After, you know, he looked okay against Glover, but then Glover was able to withstand the storm and finish him off later in the rounds. And then Rakic just didn't really do much against Santos. But Santos didn't do anything either. So that fight was very weird. I was very disappointed in that one because on paper that was a star-studded matchup. Moving on, we had Islam Makhachev taking on Drew Dober, and Islam Makhachev did exactly what he was supposed to do, wrestle, grapple, and absolutely dominate Drew Dober, and then get the later submission win. I think it was the third round. So congrats to Islam. You looked great. I wouldn't even say Drew Dober looked terrible. I would just say there was just levels. There was just levels to the wrestling, and it was proved in that fight. So we move on from that, and now we get to the first title fight. We get to the title fight that everyone has been talking about literally up to this day. People are still talking about it. Piotr Jan defending his title.
Hold on real quick, Evan. I want to go back to Santos and Rakic.
Hmm?
Rakic looked like he was out of sync in that fight. He didn't look like he looked in his previous fights in the UFC. It looked like he was being more of a defensive fighter in this fight, whereas in his previous fights he was on the offense. And I'm kind of with you, man. I think Santos, he still ain't trusting his legs, bro. And this is, what, his second fight back since his surgery? So I think that's in his head, man. I think that's in his head that about his legs, bro, because he's not kicking as much. Man, he just don't look the same. And, yeah, man, I'm kind of worried about his mental, man, that being a Santos. And I think Rockets, if you want people to take you serious, you have to fight a style of fight that people want to see you fight. You can't fight one way in this fight, then fight another way in this fight. Although, you know, strategy and technique and tactic do play a major part in some fights. I thought this was a fight where he should have been walking Santos back and just walking him down, whereas he was more defensive to me. But, yeah, go ahead, man. Push on.
No. I agree 100%. I'm glad we broke that one down because it's, I kind of just, tore both down, didn't really break it down. But that's the whole point. Santos just, he's got to figure it out if it's mental or if there's lingering injuries that he's not telling us about. And Alexander Rakic needs to put the pedal to the metal, I don't know what the saying is. But regardless, he's got to fix his style because in the post-fight interview after the fight, he said he took Santos's soul. You didn't take nothing besides a unanimous decision that was the most boring fight in light heavyweight. Like, don't talk. But regardless, moving on, like I said, Islam looked great. Now we get to the title fight. Piotr Jan took on Aljamain Sterling in arguably what was the most promoted bantamweight, fight in a long time since probably TJ versus Dominic Cruz or even probably TJ Cody. As we all know what happened, it was a good close fight, early on, but Aljamain Sterling pushed a very fast pace, and I was screaming at my friends when we were watching and telling Aljo to slow down because it was insane. Like, I don't know if he thought that he was going to get Piotr out of there early, which I think was a little crazy because Piotr's, I don't think, ever been finished. I think he lost a decision to someone, but I think he also got that win back against the same person. So, like, he rectified his one loss. So, I just think he pushed a game plan that he thought was going to work, but realized that it wasn't going to work too late. And just, he was easily tired. You could see it. He was clearly fatigued. We all know, later, I think it was the fourth round, it was clear Piotr Jan was taking, the momentum was changing to him. Aljamain was getting more and more tired as it came on, kept falling down with ease. And, when he fell down, Piotr Jan went for a knee. And it happened to be an illegal knee straight to Aljamain's head. Aljamain could not continue. And due to that being an illegal knee, it is a DQ against Piotr Jan. And your new champion is Aljamain Sterling. What are your thoughts?
I'm looking at the stats of this fight, and I didn't notice. I really didn't look to today. But Sterling threw 260 total strikes, 230 significant strikes, 154 strikes to the head, 60 to the body, 16 to the legs, ground control for 3 minutes, 25 seconds. He was 1 of 17 on takedowns, whereas Petra was 7 of 7 on takedowns. So Sterling, I don't know maybe his game plan was to take Jan into the championship rounds and hopefully try to tire him out, pace that he was going at. But I'm going to just get to it, man. As a champion, as a top-level fighter, you should know the rules. There is no excuse for not knowing the rules. To me, that knee was totally intentional. Even when the referee tells you that the opponent is considered down and you still throw the knee with force and venom like he threw it, that was totally intentional, man. I don't have a problem with them awarding Aljo the belt. I know Aljo probably, I don't know how they were scoring the fight. Did you see any scorecards or anything that come out as far as how the fight was scored?
Yes, actually, if you give me 2 seconds, I can bring them up right now because there was actually some big controversy about one of the scorecards for that fight.
Yeah, because I think, because that was the third round, right? Round four. I may have had it. I think I had Jan winning the fight, man, by a lot. Maybe 2-1, maybe 3-0. Even though Aljo was basically pushing the action, I think Jan was more effective. But when you look at the stats scream Aljo, man.
According to the stats and according to the scorecards, the scorecards before the obviously DQ, two judges had Piotr Jan up 29-28 going into that fourth round. One judge had Aljo winning the first two rounds, so he was 29-28 going into that fourth round. So if we think about it, Piotr Jan was clearly winning the fight in that fourth as Aljo was very tired, fatigued, whatever. So if he didn't get finished in that round, he was going to lose that round. So then it would have been – I don't even know what kind of scorecard you would have gave that because they were giving out 10-8s like no problem. That night. But like you said, you had Piotr Jan winning. Two judges did. One judge had Aljo winning the first two rounds, lost the third, and then I think clearly he's going to lose that, that fourth round. So, realistically, I think Jan would have won the fight if it went to the judges' scorecards because I don't think Aljo would have been able to really push anything. Push enough a pace fast enough to sway the judges. But
I think Aljo would have needed to win round four to even make it a close fight going into the fifth round. I mean, I had Jan up. But it's just sad, man, that he threw that knee, man. And there's no excuse for that, man. No excuse.
No, there is no excuse whatsoever. It's just, and the fact that it's even getting all this media time and, oh, he didn't know the rules, it was a language barrier, this and that, this is just silly that we're even doing this. Let's just take our losses. That's it. You know, you hit an illegal knee, it happens. It's not, it sucks. And should titles change on a DQ? No, I really don't believe that because, as you clearly see how badly Aljo's getting treated for getting kneed in the head and getting the belt because of that, it's not good because no one's going to actually believe him as the champion right now except for his fans that wanted him to win that fight. I hope soon that they rebook the fight. There's too much drama going into this fight. You know, you have Aljamain talking about how he should fight Cejudo next. We all know he's joking, but it's just not a good look. You don't win the belt off a DQ because, yes, someone needs you in your face and you couldn't continue. But then you go and do an interview. You don't go to the hospital. You go and hang out with your friends and post online. And I know I'm being a little bit of a Scrooge on this one. It's just not a good look to do all that and then talk about fighting someone else. Like, no, you're going to rematch Jan. It is going to be the biggest bantamweight fight since TJ Cody, rivalry-wise, because now there's even more bad blood. And that's it. That's what you do with that fight. There's nothing else that matters right now besides doing TJ Dillashaw versus Corey Sandhagen. But we will hopefully get to that when and if they announce that fight. But if you have no more thoughts on this, we can move on.
Yeah, man, it was crazy how much criticism, man, Sterling took, man. It was like, damn, people, you act like he needed himself in the head. I'm quite sure he didn't want to win the fight that way. I'm quite sure that he would have rather, you know, win the fight fair and square. But that wasn't his doing. And, I don't have a problem with him taking pictures and stuff with people, man, you know, he was awarded the belt. Basically, he's a champ. But at the same time, he deep down inside, that man don't feel good about the way he got the belt. So everybody chill out, man. There will be a rematch, and hopefully we'll get a definitive win. Everybody just chill out. Just chill out.
We will, in the rematch, we will definitely get a definitive answer because Aljo is not going to push that fast pace again. He is going to actually slow down and, you know, be a lot smarter and realize that his cardio did not hold up for those later rounds because Jan did not go away. But that's what's exciting about rematches because both of them are going to change things up and it's going to be even better. So excited for that. Hopefully it happens soon. Like I'm hoping maybe June, July. I think it's perfect sense for that rematch. But we'll move on from there, continue to talk about it another time. Next title fight we had, which we don't even have to really go over, we'll just say it. Amanda Nunes defeated Megan Anderson in the first round by a submission due to armbar. What is there to say about this? It's on record. It's on tape. I picked Megan Anderson, but I think we all know I was just busting chops. But in reality, I did want Megan to win. I'm just bored of Nunes, and I have no problem saying that. She's just too good, and I understand, like, that sells, dominant sells, but, like, she's just levels above anyone that actually tries to fight her. And now that she's got a kid, just makes her even more scary because now she's just not fighting for herself. She's fighting for her family. And it proved. She worked a 6-foot giant actual female featherweight with ease, which still baffles me how Megan Anderson just looked that way. Like, I thought she looked terrible. And I'm not even saying, like, fight-wise, but just the walk-up and, like, just into the arena. She just looked paler than pale, looked petrified of Nunes. And it's like, did you even want to win? You know, and I didn't like that. I didn't like how she looked. I didn't like the performance. But then again, it's Nunes. So, yeah, tell me your thoughts.
Remember when we was predicting this fight? The first thing I said was, can Megan Anderson take a punch? The first time Nunes hit her, I could tell that she couldn't take a punch. Megan, I just thought, to be in a UFC fighter, a MMA practitioner, you can't be scared to take a punch, bro. Because if you're scared to take a punch, just get out the sport. Number one, you fight with 4-ounce gloves. So you're going to feel it regardless. Mm. And when you watch Megan Anderson fight, she doesn't like taking punches, bro. And I knew that if she couldn't take a punch from Amanda Nunes, it was going to be over. I predicted a TKO in the second round. But, you know, Nunes could have either triangle her or armbar her. She had both set up, so she actually took it easy on Megan. And like I tweeted the next day, there is no competition for Nunes right now. I know Juliana Pena is out there talking herself up, but do we really think Juliana Pena is going to give Nunes a good fight? No.
No.
So I don't know what the UFC does with Amanda right now, but I do know that it's time to fold the 145 division women's, fold that up, put in a nice little box, and slam dunk that shit in the trash can. Because y'all should have never, ever established the 145 division. You set up a division for one fighter, and you barely could keep that division. Man, I don't even remember rankings ever coming out for 145. So that being said, you know, hats off to Amanda. She's the GOAT. I don't see her losing anytime soon, but I don't see how the UFC can really. She's probably stuck right now in co-main event mode because how do you sell a pay-per-view with her as the main eventer going against girls that we know she's better than? You can't sell that. So she's stuck at this co-main event part of the card, man.
Mm-hmm. She's always going to be a co-main eventer. Even she might even go drop down below that, but probably not. It depends on what the fight is prior to her fight. But regardless, speaking on the Juliana Pena thing, Juliana Pena, her record is 10-4. She is supposed to, I believe, a submission artist. I think that's supposed to be her thing. She is coming off a win against Sarah McMahon, who, I'm sorry, is not that big of a win anymore. Sarah is on, 1-4 in her last, one for four. She's lost way more than she's won in her last few fights. So I'm not taking that as a big win. I will say this, though. Juliana has only lost, she lost twice early in her career before she got the UFC, but then ever since coming to the UFC, the only people she had lost to was Valentina. She got submitted, and she got submitted by Jermaine Duranemi. Now, respectfully, both those women, one is our current flyweight champion for the women, and arguably the other dominant champion, and then Jermaine recently fought for the belt at 135 and actually put on a decent performance against Nunes. Plus, she was the featherweight champion but didn't want to fight Cyborg. So, in saying that, her losses are to technically the top competition is what I'm getting at. You know, it's not like she's losing to nobody at one, you know, in the division. But is she a threat to Nunes? No. I'm sorry. I wanted to believe Megan was going to be a threat. The height, the reach, the fact that she was a true featherweight, I really thought that was going to make a difference, but it did not. It was terrible. So I take all that back. And, I'm going to close with that. And we are going to move on to the main event that was the pay-per-view, which was Jan Blachowicz defending his light heavyweight championship against Israel Adesanya. Is he trying to become, the fifth double champ in UFC history? As we know what happened, Jan defended it successfully. But I think the key factor here was the scorecards. So if I may go over them real fast with you. So two things were the big factors here. Number one was the scorecards. Number two was the biased commentary. It was disgusting. And Joe Rogan and DC need to never be able to commentate cards ever again together, because DC just goes on a rampage of his own thoughts. He's overdramatic and always tries to call the fight before it actually gets stopped. It's very annoying. It's very annoying watching a fight and where DC is like, it's over. It's over. No, it's not, DC. The fight has not ended yet. The ref hasn't stopped it. Sit at your commentary desk, stop talking, continue being a retired fighter, and just shut your mouth. Same thing with Rogan. He's always screaming, stop the fight, this and that. And it's like, guys, you're not even judges. You're commentary. Just your professional fans is what Rogan called himself. That is what you are. Just stop talking when it comes to the fight. Unless someone cracked their skull or broke their leg. I get that then. But except for that, don't talk. Moving on, the scorecards. It was 49-45, 49-46, and 49-45 across the board for Jan Blachowicz. Jan won every single round on two judges' scorecards except for the third round. He was 10-10 every single round except for the third round of two scorecards. And then on the last scorecard, he won all rounds except for the second round. But the biggest thing is that the commentary was saying that Izzy was winning this fight the whole time. It looked like it was a clear victory for Adesanya. Even someone on Twitter, he's a reporter, Aaron Brodsner, I think his name is, he actually had Izzy winning, and he got belittled for it, like disgustingly belittled, and a lot of bad DMs for his pick of Adesanya. But I blame commentary for that. I blame commentary for the disgusting, commentary of the fight and having us believe and, realizing that Izzy wasn't doing as much as they were having us believe. But please, tell me your thoughts on the fight.
I am totally with you when it comes to the commentary. I don't like when they have Rogan and DC on the call. because they go in with preconceived biases going into the fight. If you look at the build-up to this fight, I don't think they gave Jan the love that he deserved, whereas they overloved Izzy. I understand Izzy is the hot thing right now. You know, he came in undefeated. But Jan is a guy that, if you look, he done fought better competition in his division than Izzy has in his division. I mean, if we being honest, and Jan is the most disrespected probably champion, you know, right now in the UFC, because you put his first title defense, you're going to have Israel Adesanya go for two belts against him. Why not let him defend against a true light heavyweight? And then, you know, you build up to Izzy versus Jan. But like I told you guys when we was predicting this fight, Izzy is not a true 205er. If you look at his body compared to Jan's body on the fight night, Jan is a true 205er. Look at his body. I was just wondering how long it was going to take for him to take Izzy down. He waited longer than I wanted him to, but once he took him down, Evan, Izzy couldn't do anything. He couldn't get back up to his feet. He didn't sprawl. And that was one of the things I said was going to happen in the fight. That what's going to happen when he has to fight off his back? He doesn't have that in his game. He's a counter striker. And when you move up in division, when you move up in weight, there are certain things that you have to be able to do with your body. Izzy's body is not ready for 205. And that was the biggest difference in the fight.
No, 100% agree. I was actually going to bring up the fact, because on the scorecards, it actually tells you that Jan weighed in at 205, and then Izzy weighed in at 200 pounds, .5. But that's not the problem. The problem is Izzy probably weighed in, like, on fight day in the octagon, probably was still 200 pounds. Jan was probably 215, 220 in that octagon.
Yep.
You know, I understand that's not necessarily a huge difference, but when it comes to grappling and how little, like, I understand Izzy's not a skinny person, like the skinny clown joke that Paula was doing. Like, I understand he's not, like, this twig person. But when it comes to grappling, he got bear hugged, and he got taken down. And he said that his legs were fatigued, and he couldn't move, and that was it. But I need to go back and rewatch this fight, because I believed Izzy was winning. And I'm going to put the blame on commentary. I'm going to put the blame on myself, too, though. You know, I need to learn, you know, better learn judging, because I just thought Izzy was landing the better shots. I thought he was just doing more damage, kind of staying out of the way. But clear as day, the judges were seeing a completely different fight than I was seeing. So I'm happy for Jan. As you mentioned before, he should have fought a true light heavyweight, and he will now. He's going to fight Glover Teixeira. Who knows when? I'm sure both of them are fine. Jan didn't really take any damage. Neither of them really took damage in that fight. It was kind of a chess match, real slow-paced. Just a good mixed martial arts fight. You know, nothing too crazy. So I think we could probably see Jan Blachowicz take on Glover. Maybe like August, September, I'd say, around there maybe. Like, kind of give it some time, you know, let the because we got to get the flyweight rematch title fight. We have to see the strawweight title fight for women, Zhang versus Rose. We got to see they just booked it recently, Valentina versus Andrade. That title fight's going to be happening as well. So I got to figure out what those dates are, and then I'll make a better estimation of when they'll book that fight. But we'll see what happens. But no, you know, in conclusion for, you know, that pay-per-view, it was a solid pay-per-view. Did the fights, you know, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Just, did they satisfy us to the needs that we were looking for? Yes and no, I will say. You know, the prelims were very good. There was a lot of good fights in the prelims. The Santos fight broke my heart because I really like Santos and I wish he would find his groove again, but I don't know if it will happen. I will say the Islam fight, just I did not care for. I'm not saying that, you know, Islam, the whole wrestling thing is boring, but it's not that. It's just that we knew Drew Dober was not a match for Islam. It was clear that Islam was going to dominate, and I think it's more so that. It's the fact that it was so obvious that he was going to dominate. That's not what I want to see. I want to see him dominate someone of high caliber talent, not someone that's clearly going to get dominated, and I just have to sit through it until Islam decides to put the old dog out. For the most part, it was a solid night. I was very happy with the prelims. I think that's it for this card. If you have any closing thoughts, please.
I have a few. I think Joseph Benavidez is time to hang him up.
Yes.
You know, it's time, bro. Nobody need to take any more punishment. You got a hot wife who has a solid job. Go get you a office gig with the UFC. Go ahead, hang him up, man. He didn't look good against Askarov. He hasn't looked good in a long time. I don't see him fighting for the belt anytime soon. So go ahead and get that up. Dominique Cruz looked good in his return. Although I think if that was a five-round fight, I think Casey Kenney had figured him out. And I think if it was going five rounds, I think Casey Kenney may have pulled it off. Because he had figured him out, bro. He had figured him out starting in the middle of the second round, going into the third round. Kenny was actually doing good. But, you know, congrats to Dominique Cruz on his return. And like you said, man, the UFC has to put Islam into a real fight. I know that they building him up, and this is what you do. You feed him guys that he's supposed to beat so that the interest keeps growing. But now UFC fans, mixed martial arts fans aren't dumb. We know what you're doing. We know that you're trying to build this guy up. The best way to build a guy up is putting him in there against top-level guys. That way we know if they real or not. I mean, I know the slow build, the slow build, the slow build. Islam is past the slow build now because he's been on the main card for, I want to say, his last three or four fights. He's either been, they even tried to main event him one time, but, you know, it's just time, man, to get him a solid competitor and let's see what happens.
Yes, you are correct. He was supposed to be the main event against Rafael Dos Anjos recently, but he had to pull out, and that's why Paul Felder stepped up. But, no, you're correct. He was on the main card, I'm pretty sure, of UFC 242. Yes, he was the third fight. He was just below the co-main event on Khabib versus Dustin Poirier. He was the co-main event on the Alistair Overeem versus Alexei Oleinik card. So main event, prior to that, he was on the prelims, but ever since his last three fights, he's been on the main card. So it's time. It's time to give him someone. I already seen that he called out, what's his name? He called out Tony Ferguson, but Tony already got booked against Beneil Dariush, which is a great fight. We'll have to talk about that soon. But he did actually call out RDA again. But, of course, RDA being a fool, RDA is like, if I beat you, I'll say yes if I beat you and Khabib lets me fight him or some dumb stuff like that. Like basically saying, I'll fight you if Khabib comes back. And it's like, stop, RDA. Enough. You are not jumping the line and fighting for a title shot after beating Islam. That's not how it works whatsoever. Islam is, I don't even know what ranking Islam is. Give me one second, because now this is just going to annoy me. This is what I'm talking about when certain fighters just feel the need to say stuff just to say it, like they just want to talk. All right, RDA is ranked 7. Islam is 11. He just jumped 3 after that win. Where do you feel that rank 7, beating rank 11 when you're ranked 7 deserves a title shot when number 2 is there, Number three, Charles Oliveira, is waiting for his title shot. Michael Chandler just knocked out Dan Hooker, who's number four. So are we just going to skip those guys just so you can fight Habib when you already lost to him? Like, no, get out of my face with that crap. Don't want to hear it. I do hope they make that fight, as I just brutalized RDA, but I hope they do make that fight because it was already booked. You already had the poster. You had it made. What are we waiting on? But we'll see. I'm sure RDA will try to hide his way from that and try to sneak into a title shot, which is not going to happen. So I'm not worried. But if I may, are we ready to break down the card for this weekend? All right. If I may, like I said, there are some fights in the prelims. We're not going to break them down. I just want to let the people know. Always watch the prelims, especially last weekend's pay-per-view card. The prelims were stacked. They were incredible. I personally think the prelims were better than the main card, and that was a pay-per-view with three title fights. So always watch the prelims. Just for your knowledge, people, we have Nasseret. I can't say his last name. He's taking on a guy named Rafa Garcia, who's 12-0, so right there, undefeated fighter, already exciting. You have Yanni Yaya, who's 26-10, one of the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu's best, taking on a guy named Ray Rodriguez. I apologize, don't know you, but I always know Yanni Yaya, so good fight there. Charles Jourdain, he is, one of Canada's next, top stars they're trying to build. He's taking on a guy in, Marcelo Rojo, who I think he trains with somebody. I don't remember who, but his name has been getting thrown around a lot. I've seen his name in the highlight recently. And then the main event of the prelims is Angela Hill taking on Ashley Yoder, and everyone loves Angela Hill. She's not been lucky for a few of these split decisions, but she'll be on the card, so be sure to check that one out because she does never put on a boring fight. But with that being said, we will jump to the main card. We will break down each fight because most of them are pretty solid. As we will start, we have Eric Anders taking on Darren Stewart. Lee, what are your thoughts on that fight?
Oh, man. Wow. This is a tough one, bro, because I like both these guys. Eric Anders always is he's a solid, solid competitor. He has heavy hands. Oh, man, I don't know, man. I'm going to go with Darren Stewart in this one, man. I think his takedown, I think he has a little bit more of a well-rounded game than Eric Anders. So I'm going to take Darren Stewart. I'm going to go with unanimous decision, Darren Stewart. I don't feel too confident in that pick. But that's where I'm going to go.
No, I agree, honestly. I think Darren Stewart is the better mixed martial artist, just better fighter all around. Eric Anders, I like him, and he was good when he first got into UFC. He was actually undefeated, when he first got into UFC, which is crazy to think about. He came to the UFC, knocked out Rafael Natal. He took a decision against Marcus Perez, and then for whatever reason was given a main event against Lyoto Machida and lost a split decision, went five rounds. Came back, got a head kick knockout, but then went on a three-fight losing streak, just kind of jumping up and down from middleweight to light heavyweight, just back and forth. Two wins after that, and most recently lost a decision to Klitschko Djokov, who I don't even think is in the UFC anymore. Regardless, his wins, they're not enough for me to pick him against Darren Stewart. I think Darren Stewart is going to put a beating on him. I think he's just a better fighter. I think he has more to offer, more strikes, just more kicks, everything, just everything all around. So I think, like you said, decision win for Darren Stewart will be my pick for that fight. I think it's going to be a good one, though. Darren Stewart, honestly, never puts on a boring fight. He's been a stud. But, yeah, so we both get Darren Stewart. I like that. All right, moving on. we will jump into the flyweight division. We have Manel Kopp taking on Mateus Nicola, I believe. Now, if everyone remembers Manel Kopp, he actually fought recently back in February in the Overeem Volkov card. He took on Alexander Pantoja, and he was actually widely promoted. A lot of people believed in him. I think he fought in Ryzen, actually might have been a Ryzen champion. But his performance in that fight was awful. He barely, you know, pushed forward, barely landed anything, danced around half the fight, and then when the judges, when the ref put Pantoja's hand up, he was stunned, and it's like, are you insane? Like, come on, man, you didn't do anything. Like, we all saw the same fight. I just don't know what fight. Sometimes I want to be in a fight just to see, you know, how he thought he won that one. You know, some people just, they surprise me with what they see in the fight versus what we see. But with all that being said, Mateus Nicolai, he was actually in the UFC at one point. I think he got cut, actually. You know, he joined the UFC back in 2015, went on a 4-fight win streak, was knocked out by Dustin Ortiz, was kicked from the UFC, picked up 2 big wins outside of the UFC, and now he returns against Manel Kopp. Honestly, bro, I have no idea who to pick in this one. Manel Kopp did not excite me in his last fight. I have no reason to pick him to win this one. But Mateus, he's coming off the 2 wins outside of the UFC, so I'll give it to him. I'll give it to Mateus by decision since he's got the momentum on his side coming off 2 wins, coming back to the UFC. But then again, the pressure is on for him to make it for this next, for the second stint in the UFC. What are your thoughts?
I did not like what I saw his last fight against Pantoja. Like you said, he did a lot of dancing, a lot of fainting, no production, no output. And I just didn't like his fighting style. In the UFC, that doesn't win fights, bro. You have to engage. You have to let your hands go. You have to kick. You have to have some form of action in your fights. And I had picked him to win that fight because he was the rising champion. And I was like, okay, maybe he got some game. This fight is easy for me to pick until I see Kate do something. I would pick against him, and I'm picking against him in this fight. I think I'm going to go with the UFC veteran and Mateus. I think he dominates Kate on the ground, and he possibly get a submission in the second round. I don't like Manel Kate's fighting style. Until he shows me that he's willing to engage, I won't pick this guy, man. So maybe he was I don't understand how you be a champion in one league and then you come to the UFC and you think that same fighting style is going to work with the big guys in the big leagues. That don't work. And, yeah, man, I'm going with Mateus to win this fight, second round submission.
Nice. All right, great pick. I like it. With us picking against Manel, guys, I hope you guys know, it's not that we don't want him to succeed. I hope he does. I hope he shines. You know, his nickname is Starboy. I hope his star shines bright, to be corny as possible, because it just you're so highly promoted that we want to believe in you, but your last fight just did not give us much hope. But please prove me wrong. I will be happy to prove me wrong. With that being said, we move on to a bantamweight bout. We have Jonathan Martinez taking on Davy Grant. Don't know much about either of these fighters. I know the names. Both of them are coming off 2-fight win streaks. Each have a finish and each have a decision win in those 2 fights. So this is a perfect matchup for both. Jonathan Martinez, 13-3, 26 years old. They're both 5'7". Martinez has a 1-inch reach advantage at 70 to Davy Grant, 69, but the big thing is the age difference. We have 26 Martinez, and Davy Grant is 35. But like I said, both 2-fight win streaks, their records are pretty much identical, 13-3, 12-4. This is great matchmaking. I don't know too much about either, like I said, besides the stats I'm reading here. So as just a pickle, I'm just going to go with Jonathan Martinez. I think we see a good fight here, a nice decision win for Jonathan Martinez, but I apologize. That's all I got for you guys. But, Lee, please tell me your thoughts.
I'm going with Davy Grant, man. I'm taking Davy Grant in this fight. I think this fight is kind of like a toss-up, really, because, you know, basically when you're looking at the tail of the tape, everything is basically even across the board except takedown. Davy Grant has a better takedown average than Martinez. Can Martinez keep the fight on his feet where he still isn't a better striker than Davy Grant, but I'm quite sure he wants to keep the fight on the feet, and I think Grant will want to take him down, and I think Grant probably institutes a better game plan in this fight, and I see Grant winning this fight probably by split decision.
I like that. I like that. It's a good one. It's a good one. Actually, and what's interesting is Davy Grant is a plus 250 underdog. So that would be a nice chunk of change if I decide to sneak that pick. All right. Let's move on. We actually have a great fight in the featherweight division coming up. We have Dan Ige taking on Gavin Tucker. Dan Ige, I'm not sure where he trains out of, but I know he does train with Khabib. He has videos of him training with Khabib.
He's with Extreme Couture.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So he's got a great team behind him. He's had great performances. He is 14-3, but his three losses are not to, his last loss was to Calvin Kattar, to which, respectfully, he did get dominated in that fight. It was a unanimous decision. Sometimes there's just levels to this. What is interesting, though, is he actually does have a different person. But, he had a good streak going. He was able to get the Kattar fight. It didn't work out for him, but he's back taking on someone in the division that not a lot of people know about, I don't think, because injuries have plagued him, but is Gavin Tucker, another Canadian fighter, I believe, yes. He's 10-1. His last loss was back at UFC 215, 2017. He lost a Rick Glenn decision. After that, he took 2 years off and came back in July, and with that was able to get two submission wins and just decision Billy Quarantillo. Apologies pushing that. And with that, he's on a three-fight win streak. So he's coming in with a lot of momentum. Dan Ige is coming in with his back against the wall, coming off that loss to Calvin Kattar. He has to show this division, the fans, that he belongs in the top 10, or just at least the top 15, if either of them are ranked. Oh, yes. Dan Ige is number 9. Gavin Tucker is not ranked. So this, honestly, the pressure is on Dan Ige. Coming off a loss, you're the ranked guy in the top 10. Your spot is getting being threatened against someone who's not even ranked yet, who has come in with momentum. This is great matchmaking. I love this fight. With that being said, man, I got to go with Dan Ige, though. I think his grappling is going to be the deciding factor. I really think the training with Khabib and just his style, it's just in your face, push that good pace, and I think he will, just put it on Gavin Tucker, and he'll keep that ranking. But, so I'll go with the decision win for Dan Ige. But please tell me your thoughts.
I think for Ige to win, this fight has to stay on his feet. I don't think he wants to wrestle with Gavin Tucker. I think Ige probably wants to fight at distance, then he has a 5-inch reach advantage. Tucker is going to be a tough guy because he's a southpaw, number one, and then number two, he's a southpaw that can wrestle. So he has tricks in his bag and tools in his toolbox that most left-handed guys really don't have. There aren't a lot of left-handed guys that southpaw guys that wrestle also. So I think Ige If he can keep the fight at distance, he has a good chance of winning. But I'm going to take Tucker. I think Tucker takes him down, applies a lot of pressure to him on the mat, dominates the grapple game. Ige probably tires out, probably in the second round, and Gavin Tucker goes on to win a unanimous decision against a very game Dan Ige in this fight.
I like that. I like that. Difference. All right. We have reached the co-main event. This is a good one, too. This is another interesting one. We have Misha Cirkunov taking on Ryan Spann. Both, I believe, are coming off losses in their last fight. I might be wrong on Misha, but I believe Ryan Spann just lost to Johnny Walker in his last fight.
Correct.
Yes, he lost to Walker. And he actually dropped Walker, and there was he even mentioned in an interview that it was he didn't like how that fight went, the refereeing and everything, so he had some feelings. But I was wrong, actually. Misha Cirkunov actually hasn't fought since 2019. His last win was against Jimmy Crute on the Cowboy Justin Gaethje card. Wow, that was a little while ago. Jeez. All right. But he was able to get a submission win. So this is an interesting fight. You know, we got two gentlemen, you know, 15-5, 18-5, both 6 foot plus. Ryan Spann has a 2-inch reach advantage. But the question is, I believe what's interesting, though, is Ryan Spann, who I believe is more of a knockout artist, at least that's what I thought. What's interesting, though, is he has more submission wins, I believe, on his record than he has 11 submission wins, but which I was baffled by because I thought he was more of a knockout guy. But I don't think submission is going to be the key here against Misha. I think Misha's ground game and grappling is going to be too much for Ryan. Another Misha has 9 submission wins, so this is going to be interesting. I think this fight's going to stay on the feet. I don't think either are going to want to test that grappling. I think it's risky for both to honestly do it. But with all that being said, I think I'm just going to take Ryan Spann. I think he has actually really great knockout power at 205. And Misha has been weirdly not able to take a punch as of late. In his one fight against Volkan Oezdemir, he got like clocked on the ear, but it was so light tap. It was just, he went down like a sack of potatoes, and it was just very odd to see. But who knows what could have happened. You know, weight cut, no idea. Knockout and sparring, not sure. But regardless, moving on, I'm going to take Ryan Spann, and I think we're going to see a finish in this fight. I think we're going to see a first round. You know what? Screw it. First round knockout for Ryan Spann. I think he puts it on him, and we're going to see the Ryan Spann come back on this one. What do you think?
I like Ryan Spann also. I think he wins probably second round KO or TKO. Only thing Spann has to do in this fight, he has to fight at distance, and he has to avoid the takedown. If he does get taken down, he has better get back to his feet real. Misha has a 2.4 submission average, and Spann only has a 1.76. So Spann has to get back to his feet really, really quick once he gets taken down. He has to fight the fight on his feet, and he has to be the one applying pressure. He can't be backing up. He has to be backing Misha up. I think he does that, and I think he wins this fight second round TKO. And this is the reason why they have these two guys on this spot of the card. They see something in one of these guys. One of these guys they see as a star. And I think that's Ryan Spann. So I'm going to take Ryan Spann in this fight, second round KO, TKO.
I agree. I think I truly believe Ryan Spann's last fight was he was able to knock down Johnny Walker, but then he got caught on the come up. He was in a takedown, and then Johnny landed some clean elbows, but some of them might have been to the back of the head. Who knows? But he was able to get the finish. Moving on from that, it's going to be a good co-main event. But we have reached the main event of the evening, and I am so excited for this one. You have no idea everyone how excited I am to finally see Leon Edwards fight again. Like, it's been over 600 days since he has last fought. This is very exciting. And honestly, this fight against Bilal Muhammad interests me more than the Khamzat fight, because we know Bilal Muhammad is legit. What's crazy, both these guys, 18-3 records, basically identical attributes, 6'5", 74, 72 reach, you know, keeps going down. Bilal has, you know, Bilal is more of a decision guy. Same to Leon. You know, he's more of a decision guy as well. This is just a great fight. I'm very excited for this one. I don't like reading all the stats because, honestly, I don't know what I'm talking about half the time. But the question for me, you know, thinking of this fight, is can Leon stop the grappling attempts of Bilal? Because we know that's what's going to happen. He's going to push fast. He's, you know, going to strike early, you know, push the striking. But then we also on the Diego Lima fight, he struck, he strike, and then he immediately gets that takedown and just works the takedown. And it's smart. Work the grappling. Do exactly what you're supposed to do and grind him out. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Bilal comes out and knocks Leon Edwards out in crazy fashion, just like, you know, MMA is. I feel like everyone is expecting us to pick Leon with ease, and we probably should, because he is the ranked, you know, the third ranked guy. But, and his competition level is better. You know, he's got wins over Cowboy, RDA, Gunnar Nelson, to where Bilal's last few wins are not, you know, to that caliber of opponent, you could say. With all that being said, I'm going to take Leon Edwards. I want him to win. I'm biased. I want to see him win. I want to see him get that title shot next. Even if he doesn't win the title, give him his shot. It's time. If he wins this fight, he's going to be on a 9-fight win streak. What more do you want from him? You know, he rescheduled the fight with Khamzat 3 times, didn't work. Now he's taking on the 11th-ranked guy. What more do you want from him? If he wins this fight in dominating fashion, give him the title shot. Lee, please tell me your thoughts.
Like I tweeted, this is a fight Leon Edwards should win. But would I be surprised if Bilal Muhammad pulls the upset? No. But I'm picking Leon Edwards for the sole reason that you said at the end of your prediction. Leon Edwards is number 3. Nobody wants to fight Leon Edwards. It's hard for him to get a fight. So I'm picking Leon Edwards so that he can get a title shot. If he wins this fight, there is no excuse why he shouldn't get a title shot. It's not his fault that guys do not want to fight him. Jorge Masvidal pulled a cheap shot against the man and then refused to fight him. Kobe Covington calls him out and then refuses to take the fight against him. So I'm going with Edwards off the sole fact that nobody wants to fight him, and the only way he's going to get a fight is by beating Bilal Muhammad and getting a title shot. There is no fight breakdown for me on this one. I'm just strictly going off my bias for Leon Edwards in this fight. Bilal definitely needs to be on the lookout for Leon Edwards' elbow game, which is pretty good. And I just like Edwards to win this fight, bro.
Like I said before, I'm right there with you. I'm not going to lie to you guys. If Bilal wins this fight, that's incredible. And I'm not saying I'm not a fan of Bilal Muhammad. He's a great talent. He's on a great win streak right now. But just knowing how much Leon has put into this and how much he's been getting screwed, because if you really think about it, yes, he was supposed to fight RDA. He fought RDA back in June of 2019. And then in March 2020, he was going to fight Woodley in the main event. That got the COVID hit. He was not able to leave. Woodley got Burns. Burns beat up Woodley. Then I think they tried to book the Leon Kobe fight. That didn't work out. I think they tried to give him a title fight on, like, 2 weeks' notice, and that's not right. Like, no, I'm not taking a title fight on 2 weeks' notice, because we know the UFC, what they're trying to do. They're going to give him his title fight when he's not properly trained, and then they're going to give him another one. So I'm gunning for Leon Edwards. I want him to win. I hope he does. If Bilal wins, incredible. As a gentleman on Twitter, his Twitter handle, I think, is Uncle Yagi. I apologize for butchering that. He is so smart when it comes to this stuff, when it comes to these like, smart matchups. Bilal Muhammad is, what's the word? He's managed by Ali Belaziz, the Habib manager, Usman's manager. And we all know he's a goober, but he gets his fighters fights. He knows how to book these fights. He knows how to work, you know, his management skills. So if Bilal wins this fight and it's in proper fashion, don't be surprised if he gets that title fight. Like, I don't think he's going to win. I think Usman will butcher him. But those are just early predictions right now. But with all that being said, I just want to say real fast, this has been awesome. This was a great show. I'm so happy we did this on Saturday morning. I love doing these. Hopefully we do more of these as the, you know, days to come. And yeah, can't wait for the fights later tonight. So stoked. You know, we'll be tweeting on the our Twitter page at LKE for the fights. You know, all three of us will kind of just go back and forth. But Lee's, please, any closing words?
Yeah, man. You know, like you said, I wouldn't, if Bilal wins, I wouldn't be upset about it. I'll probably be more hurt for Leon, because if he can't get a fight now, what makes you think he's going to get a fight down the road? So you'll probably see him fighting lesser guys. And I just, the matchmaking right now is something to be desired, because too many guys are turning down fights. And I do not like that for this thing with the UFC right now. It's becoming too much like boxing. And everybody know how it feels about boxing and their matchmaking. We'll probably have to talk about this probably next week, as far as guys not taking fights and what the UFC can do to fix it. I don't think there is anything they can do to fix it. So we'll just have to see. But like Evan said, man, these fight day shows are actually pretty fun to do. You know, getting ready for this snow we about to get starting in a little while. They said we're getting away from 3 inches to 5 feet, so we'll see how it goes. But everybody enjoy the fights. COVID is still a real thing, so make sure you mask up and wash your hands and take care of yourself. And till next week, me and Evan signing off. And like I always like to close the show with, positive people with positive energy yield positive results. That being said, everybody have a good weekend. Stay safe and enjoy the fight. Lee, Keys, and Evan Real Talk signing off. Peace.